You're listening to The Threshing Floor.
Welcome to The Threshing Floor. My name is Randy Moggins. And it is 2012. This is the eighth day of the first month in the year of 2012. And I think it's a perfect time to do the first show of this new year and of this new decade. This is the second decade of the 21st century. When you do the counting correctly, the millennium began in 2001, not 2000. So we're 10 years after. So this is, in fact, the second decade of the 21st century. It is a time of great change, a time of the shift, and a time to get very real about things that are going on around us. This will likely be a short show. I have a lot to say and some pretty profound insights that have opened up in recent weeks. I do apologize for being away from this, which really is my first love in terms of radio shows. We survived a nasty website attack, and I need to say my deepest thanks to Dan, who handles our web hosting and servers. It's because of him that we still have a website. And my deepest love and thanks to all of you who came through in December and helped us out with finances. Even when your eyes saw that there was a standstill in the work, you helped move things forward. I cannot show you the tears that I have wept because you care. Because from your hearts you sent messages, cards, gifts, donations, and a part of yourselves and encouragement. You truly are the remnant of Israel. My health over the last month has not been great. I've been limping. I suffered through a series of what I will call bizarre symptoms, as well as severe spiritual attacks. I had to shut down just to get well again. And so emotionally, it's been by far the most difficult of the holiday season that I've experienced in over 10 years. Spirit of the age is fully formed and celebrated by the consumerism and greed of the world. The age is now closing, and we all have some decisions to make. I'm going to add in some comments here that I posted onto the Threshing Floor blog a couple of days ago. I want to talk about the year ahead, because I think it's still not understood clearly where we're at in the linear spacescape of Chronos time, which we've talked about for many years on this show. Chronos being the literal linear three and four dimensional time space that we live in as physical beings. The fourth dimension, of course, being the time domain, and the fifth dimension being the dimensions of what we would call second, third, and fourth heavens, the spiritual dimensions. These are things that your religions and your churches have not taught you. The year ahead is going to continue the journey toward deeper personal connection with spirit. That's my commitment. Well, many have since gone on to continue retaining their deeply entrenched religious mindsets, and some with whom I have previously worked have now departed. This is not a new phenomena. Jesus experienced this as well. Just look at the sixth chapter of John. Maybe we'll look at that in a second here. Many others who have stepped up to the high calling, the many of you who remain, the remnant of spiritual Israel, are beginning to see the deceptions of religion, even the deceptions of so-called biblical Christianity, fundamentalism, evangelicalism, the sola scriptura crowd, the Holy Bible crowd who live on the fumes of the religion that was formed out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is now the gospel about Jesus Christ. And these deceptions play out in the modern forms many times of prophecy. They want to take us into the slam bang end times events of inevitable death and destruction of the planet and its peoples. This particular strain of prophecy, of which I have been a part as well, wish to delineate certain saved people from other certain groups who will die or experience hell on earth before ever knowing the grace and peace of the Creator. While it is true we are in a period of profound changes as this planet moves to galactic center as the very earth itself, and yes, I will say it, it is a divine created being. The earth is a divinely created entity. It is a living being. And I can prove that with scripture, as well as I can prove it by the spiritual writings of all the great threads of spirit that have gone before us in the earth. So this planet is suffering the ravages of this dying industrial age of war. And the human being, a composite of mind, spirit, and body, is likewise undergoing tremendous changes. None of this should be seen as negative. In fact, many incredible changes that are now occurring are incredibly optimistic. But each of us does have the free will to choose from the two worlds that I've spoken of, two very different outcomes, two distinct outcomes based on choices that we make both individually and collectively. The doom and gloomers who consign fellow human beings to the dustbin of history, who condemn others while retaining the beam in their own eyes, who continue to trash the spiritual teachings of Master Jesus by employing materialistic, man-contrived scriptures in the service of narrow religious interpretations, these will indeed harvest the very fates they envision. Likewise, those who can open their third eye, what Jesus called the single eye, those who can reach out of the center, the heart center of their being, to a dying planet, who truly see the kingdom within, these are the ones who live and do not taste death, the generation that Jesus spoke about, Because the generation who do not taste death are the generation that live after Christ. See, he wasn't talking about the generations that were alive at his time. He was talking about the generations that are of him. And these are generations that roll back and forth in time because Christ is eternal. The Father God is an eternal being. Jesus died once to save all peoples of all races on all planets at all times. His atonement was a once and done deal. 2012 promises to be exciting. It'll be challenging, and I expect that there are some real hairpin turns coming up in the months ahead. Men whose hearts are still attached to the old paradigm, the Piscean age of the old world, will indeed find their hearts failing. Systems of government, religion, economics, and human consciousness are all going to fall away in rapid successions. The years that will follow, 2013 and beyond, are the birth pangs of the woman. This woman is the mystical union between the Creator and created. The man-child is the coming of the Son of Man, to which Jesus spoke of as both of himself and yet not of him. Did you ever notice how Jesus spoke of the Son of Man in the third person? Do you think this was an accident, or do you think that maybe this was just a color of speech given to us by the Elizabethan tongue of the retranslated Bible? Jesus seems to be perfectly capable of speaking in the first person, and yet when he speaks of the Son of Man, he speaks of him as a third person, because he is the man-child, and he is coming from the birth pangs of the woman, and this is the manifestation of the sons of God, the first fruits of the new race of beings, who are truly called, truly elect, and fully manifest as the 144,000 of the tribes of spiritual Israel or spiritual Sion. I want to read something here from the Gospel of Philip. And there's an old saying that when you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that's hit. I've been tossing stones for a while now. And I've sat by and I've watched as religious people have completely distorted the majesty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are those who continue to insist that all they need is their Bible and to believe on Jesus Christ, yet they never do the work. They never do the spiritual work. They never move beyond the border entry level of recitation of words on pages. They have no spiritual power. They do not have the ability to ascend to a higher level of spiritual maturity. And yet these have designated themselves as teachers. And some of them are ones I have once walked with. The Gospel of Philip tells us something that we need to look at very carefully because it informs some of the teachings of Jesus inside the received text of the Holy Scriptures. It says, if one goes down into the water and comes up without having received anything and says, I am a Christian, he's borrowed the name at interest. But if he receives the Holy Spirit, he has the name as a gift. He who has received a gift does not have to give it back, but of him who has borrowed it at interest, payment is demanded. This is the way it happens to one when he experiences a mystery. Have you experienced a mystery, or have you simply been part of the rote recitation of dead doctrine and blind scripture that has been trotted out for over 1900 years now as a result of the expunging of what are called the outside books of the Bible? You know, God's not mocked. In 1945, he did something quite amazing. 1945, the Nag Hammadi was discovered. As a result of the discovery of outside texts, some of which were part of the original Bible, including a fully intact scripture of the prophet Isaiah, we began to get a handle on some of the things that were missing from the Bible. The Vatican, in its intrigues, continued to suppress these books, and they've leaked out over a period now of nearly 70 years. So we have some back of what we once lost. To believe that there are only 66 books and that's it, to believe that those books were God-breathed and assembled by God-inspired man, ignores the entire history of the assembly of the Bible. It was a trail of tears and a trail of blood as Orthodoxy took over after Constantine formed the church at the Council of Nicaea. It was the men, and it was exclusively men, who sat in councils and decided what books would be included and what would not. And they did not suffer well, those who bristled against what they contrived. Now, you can argue with this, or you can bristle at it, or you can be angry about it. You can stomp off and walk away, and that's fine, because you have missed the mystery. Because the mystery is written in the texts of time. It is written deep in the ancient texts of many cultures, many lands, many spiritual streams. For those who believe that God only preserved himself in the lineage of the Hebrews, in the language of Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, Latin, I would have to tell you that you are fools. The great mysteries exist within the earth itself. It is secrets which nature itself speaks, and mysteries that come from the heavens that echo into the hearts of men. And we are now in 2012, and we are in a time when the vaults are opening. We are in a time when the mysteries will no longer be concealed. The light will blind some, cause them to turn away from the path of the mystery and the path of spirit. It will enlighten others inside themselves to move forward as this earth and this galactic system goes to another energy order. Jesus says, "I have cast fire upon the world system, and behold, it is ablaze." Joel chapter 2, verse 3, out of the King James says, "A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them." Matthew 3:11 in the Young's Literal Translation says, "I indeed do baptize you with water to reformation, but he who after me is coming is mightier than I, of whom I am not worthy to bear the sandals. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Luke 12:49 in the King James says, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?" Jesus talked about the fire. Joel 2:3 talks about this fire as a flame that burns. The land ahead of them, the Garden of Eden, the future land of spiritual enlightenment, and behind them, the desolate wilderness which they shall not escape. These are the paths between two worlds spoken of here in Joel chapter 2. Jesus is the gateway, and the path is the path of light, the path of fire, which we are to traverse as we walk between two worlds. The idea of a world system comes from the Greek word cosmos. It's an arrangement or order. Originally, the pre-Socratic philosopher Pythagoras had used this term to designate the entire natural universe, as in cosmos, but in the Gospel Koine, later Common Greek, it also came to signify the conventionality or artificiality of the human social system, as in cosmetic. What you have around you is an artifice, it's a matrix. The reality that you perceive is simply the edifices of human imagination grafted onto a world ruled by the archons of the ancient past. Those who rule in the third and fourth dimensions. What is referred to in the scriptures as the world is also called the aeon or the age. When we examine the composite of the major prophetic teachers of the ages, avatars, we find commonality in the view that in certain periods in the linear timeline, the chronos, there are shifts, cataclysms, upheavals that ignite the conscious minds of the people. Dr. Joseph Lumpkin, who has been on this show several times, refers to this as the axial age, the dawn of the great religious traditions. The axial age is described by writer Karen Armstrong as the period 800 to 200 BCE that was termed the axial age because it proved pivotal to humanity. Society had grown more aggressive, iron had been discovered, and this was the beginning of the Iron Age. Better weapons had been invented, and while those weapons looked puny compared to what we are dealing with now, it was still a shock. The first axial age also occurred at a time when individualism was just beginning. As a result of urbanization and a new market economy, people were no longer living on lonely hilltops, but in thriving, aggressive commercial economies. Power was shifting from king and priest, palace and temple, to the marketplace. Inequality and exploitation became more apparent as the pace of change accelerated in the cities, and people began to realize that their own behavior could affect the fate of future generations. Karen Armstrong writes, "So the axial age marks the beginning of humanity as we now know it. During this period, men and women became conscious of their existence, their own nature, and their limitations in an unprecedented way. In the axial age, a few men sensed fresh possibilities and broke away from the old traditions. People who participated in this great transformation were convinced that they were on the brink of a new era and that nothing would ever be the same. They saw change in the deepest reaches of their beings and looked for greatness inward. They looked inside their spiritual lives and tried to become one with transcendent reality. After this pivotal era, it was felt that only by reaching beyond their limits could human beings become most fully themselves." This was the closest parallel period of transformation in our recorded history, and its epoch spanned the great spiritual movements. From 800 to 500, you had the Upanishads, the Vedic era chronology. 630 to 553 Zarathustra and the Persian Empire chronology. 604 BC, you have Lao Tzu and the early China chronology. 585, you have Thrallus of Miletus and the Greek philosophy chronology. 611 to 646, Anaximander of Miletus and the Greek philosophy chronology. In 550, you have Siddhartha Gautama, called the Buddha, the Buddhist chronology. You also have the Mahariva, rivals to the Hinduism chronology. And in 585, Jeremiah in the ancient Israel chronology. In 511, you have Kung Fu Se, Confucianism, in the Chinese chronology. In 428 BC, we begin the Plato and Hellenistic Greek chronology. Some extend this era forward to the first century CE to include the advent of Jesus, who declared a coming of ages. It was he who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. Amen." Young's literal translation says, "Lo, I am with you all the days to the end of the age." That chronology indicates something that we need to look at. The first axial age was a period, it was a shift. It was a time of huge churning of cultures, of economics, of religions. Nations turned into upheaval and then settled back down again into a plateau in the time stream. We are now at the second axial age. We are now at the time of what we would consider to be the great shift. This time around, it goes up another level. This time, it goes to the high spiritual dimension. It goes to the shift in man's consciousness, which turns inward in order to face outward. The age is full of upheaval and convolution and signs. While Jesus taught on a spiritual level, he also noted specific things that will begin to shift. Most of these have been with us throughout the present age, but Scripture uses the laboring woman with rapid birth pains as an anchor. Isaiah 8:18 says, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Please don't think of Mount Zion as a physical, literal place here. Zion, Sion are the kingdom within. And when Isaiah says, I and the children whom the Lord hath given are for signs, you are a sign. You are part of the shift at the end of the age. Luke 21:11 says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. In verse 5 it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. One of the problems with the way these prophecies have been interpreted is in the use of timing. Based on a linear time code from both the Old and New Testaments, there is a great disagreement, for instance, on a 7 or a 3.5 year so-called tribulation. The problem lies in factoring obscure references in Daniel and Revelation regarding what are called times. Jesus answered this with an analogy in Matthew 16:2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you will say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Take a break at this point. Come back on the other side. I want to begin to break out more about the signs of the times, how we reckon time, and the mystery that is about to arrive on planet Earth. Here on the Threshing Floor. We'll be right back.
The earth is spinning. I'm here by gravity. There's so many things that pull you into me. Must have been the right weather. Must have been the right day. The slant of light. Let me see you that way. While we walked on the beach. With the tide out at sea, and by the time it had returned, it erased the doubts in me. Oh, I believe in the mystery. I can see it in your eyes, and that's all that matters to me. By your side, wondering how it is we got off course this time. I can blame it on Saturn, I can blame it on Mars, I can blame it on Mercury, but not your heart. 'Cause when I'm running like that tide, I come back in. Even the moon has two sides. We know both of them. Oh, and I believe in the mystery. I can see it in your eyes, and that's all that matters to me. Now, if it were just up to me, I'd always take the upper hand. Everything would go according to my plans. Well, I've been out walking under the star-filled sky, and I've seen you there with your head held high. And me, I'm stretched across Norwadic mountainside. We've been traveling just like that for eons of time. Oh, and I believe in the mystery. I can see it in your eyes, and that's all that matters to me. Earth is spinning. I'm I'm here by gravity. There's so many things that pull you into me. Oh, I believe in the mystery. I can see it in your eyes, and that's all that matters. Yeah, that's all that matters. Oh, that's all that matters.
Welcome back to the other side of the Threshing Floor. It is the eighth day of the first month in the second decade of the 21st century. And it is the time of the shift and the time of the mystery. But we have to deal with the words of Jesus. And we have to go below the surface, and we have to find where the mystery lies. Because when he says, but you cannot discern the signs of the times, even though you can see the face of the sky, he goes on to elaborate in verse 4 of Matthew 16. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Well, he certainly left them with a cliffhanger, didn't he? And he left us with one too. Because what we were left with was a fragment of understanding about discerning times and seasons. The literal chronological timelines that have been trotted out by biblical scholars and prophets and teachers for at least 200 years now are all part of this whole glued together, linear, literal, three-dimensional understanding of the mysteries of God. We keep looking at the book and we keep trying to find times and seasons in it based on our own understanding. But that wasn't your instructions. Your instructions were given by the author of this book, the Son of the Spirit and the Son of the Father. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the teaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now, when Jesus says 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, he speaks of the Son of Man again in the third person. He literally fulfills the required timeline by his own death. Thus, no longer is a linear timeline required, but there is a great mysterious teaching that comes into play. He points back to Jonah in the belly of the whale and the son of the man 3 days in the heart of the earth, and he points to humanity who are to ascend to be the son of man, the manifest sons of God, the man-child found in the book of Revelation. In the third day studies, I related the spiritual overlay, a view of what is rendered from a spiritual perspective. Prophecy teachers and interpreters insist upon a literal time. In Revelation 12:14, it says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." Is that literal or is it spiritual? This is simply an analog. It is an overlay that beckons back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, where it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand into a time and times and the dividing of time," the dividing of ages. In other words, the cadence which ramps up to the closing of the age, called by Daniel the dividing of time. There is no requirement for any literal period of time to pass. Yet, historicist interpreters have usually understood the time, times, and half time, 1260 days and 42 months mentioned in Daniel and Revelation, to be references to a period of 1260 years. These time periods occur 7 times in Scripture, in Daniel 7:25, Daniel 12:7, Revelation 11:2, Revelation 11:3, Revelation 12:6, Revelation 12:14, and Revelation 13:5. The year-date principle was first used in Christian exposition by Tychonius, who interpreted the 3.5 days of Revelation 11:9 as 3.5 years, writing 3.5 days, that is 3 years and 6. In the 5th century, Faustus of Rees gave the same interpretation of Revelation 11:9, writing 3.5 days, which correspond to 3 years and 6 months. And in 550, Primasius also gave the same interpretation, writing, "It is possible to understand the 3.5 days as 3 years and 6 months." The same interpretation of Revelation 11:9, also given by later Christian expositors Bede in 730 AD, as well as Aspert, Aretas, Hamo, and Berengod, all in the 9th century. Primasius appears to have been the first to appeal directly to previous biblical passages in order to substantiate the principle, referring to Numbers 14:34 in support of his interpretation of the 3.5 days of Revelation 11:9. Where am I going with all this? Simple. Yeshua gave the interpretation. He fulfilled the prophetic writ perfectly, forward and back. It was these so-called scholars of Rome who, having burned, murdered, and extinguished the spiritual teachings of the Gnostics, then took everything Jesus taught at a spiritual level and reduced it back down to the physical. They gave you the children of the Roman bastardization of the Holy Word. We hearken back again to Matthew 16. "You hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign. You cannot discern the signs of the times. Do you need a clock? Do you need a calendar? Do you need an hourglass? Do you need something that physically constantly points you to something in this planetary realm to tell you what time it is? Do you need the words of the Catholic scholars who took everything that was spiritual inside the words of Jesus Christ, including the teachings of the great Gnostic books, and reduced it down to a catechism and a creed that you could repeat and recite, into Bibles that were chewed up and spit out by the Roman gladiators over the blood of the martyrs over centuries? What I want to know from those who continue to listen to this show is that you understand this is spirit-guided and it is spirit-driven. We were never supposed to live by a book, and we were never supposed to live by the words of teachers and men who are not inspired and who have not done the walk inside their own souls. We were supposed to be those who followed something higher. We were supposed to be something that walked the path of fire. Again, Joel 2:3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. That would be the sword that burned at the entrance to the first Eden. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The fire is lit. It has been lit for over 2,000 years. Jesus gave you the signs. He gave you the means to understand that the kingdom of God is within you. He didn't give you a book, but he left you writings. And he left writings upon tablets of men's hearts. This is 2012. The signs are around you. Are you ready to jump out of the choke points of established religion? Are you prepared to deal with the true power of the Christ face to face? A lot of people have packed up and left now. They can't deal with what I'm telling you. If you want to play religion some more, fine. It's a big coliseum prepared out there. Traditional Christians are going to die for all the wrong reasons. I do not want to see God's people suffer. Those who could not bear through this last year with me, I pray for you and hope you find the things you were sent here to learn. A year ago, I set out turning over rocks, asking questions and challenging even my own core beliefs. What stands as we enter this year on the calendars of Rome, 2012, is still a deep faith in the Christ and in the Father. I gained a mother this year as the Godhead finally began to make sense. I found I did not need to throw out the Bible or even to throw out Paul. I had to discern that the Scriptures live amidst the rubble of a bloody conflict that has raged since Constantine convened his unholy councils. Found a history that time cannot erase, and ghosts, my brothers and sisters, and the echoes of dim times. What survives is holy. Our energy patterns upon the earth cry beyond our limited lives. I suspect that by next year at this time, it will be a far different world. The economic system of the West has imploded. The East has risen. It is the year of the dragon and the Chinese zodiac, and the element is water. Water washes clean, like its elemental opposite fire. We are entering the time of the great purging. All that cannot stand shall fall, and all that rises will be purified. The time of decision is here. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith is knowledge. Faith is knowing inside yourself what is true. It is not about how many scriptures you can pile upon each other or how much understanding you can glean from the words and the lips of men. It's about what you know in your heart, and it's what you sense in the inner being, which is the spirit inside you. I'm Randy Moggins. This is The Threshing Floor. We'll be back very soon with another show. The truth is out there. It's inside you.
I had a dream last night. I dreamt that I was swimming in the stars up above, directionless and drifting, and somewhere in the dark were the sirens and the thunder, and around me as I swam the drifters who'd gone under. Time, love, time, love, time, love, time, love. Time, love, time, love, it's only a change of time. I had a dream last night. Rusting fog alone, they battered hulls and broken hardships. Leviathan and lonely, I was thirsty, so I drank. And though it was salt water, there was something about the way it tasted so familiar. Time, love, time, love, time, love, time, love, time, love, time, love. It's only a change of time.
It's only a change.